describes. So, the one who has all authority is telling us here, you got to follow what I tell you. You got to do what I say. You got to be obedient, in other words. And if you're not, if you are obedient, and you do what he says, you're going to be solid as a rock. You're going to be, your faith is going to be solid and strong. If not, it's going to be, he gives the example of a house being built on sand. You know, and you know, I'm sure living here close to the river, you know what happens when a house is not built on a good foundation and the floodwaters come. It gets washed down the river. We were at the BMV this week when Natalie was getting her driver's license, and I walked while she was doing her test. I was walking down the hall looking at all the old pictures and everything, and pretty interesting to see the history of this area and all the flooding. I don't think I've ever lived in an area that had that much history of flooding. You see where a lot of things were destroyed in the past here because of the floods. Sometimes, and particularly in the old days, people didn't have a record of those things like we do now. Nowadays, we have records been kept for over 100 years for sure in this area of the floods. So you know not to build a new house in the floodplain. You don't go down at the lowest point on the river and build a house. If you do, people are going to call you a fool, you know, because they know. And you're probably not going to get insurance on it and all that. And if you do, you're not going to be able to afford it. But we learn from what we see in the past. We learn from what the Lord tells us. When the Lord tells us, you know, don't do that, you don't do it. And the first people that came to this area didn't know. They didn't know what flooded here. I'm sure they could, if they listened to the natives around here, they might have known. But they'd never lived here. They didn't know. And that's the way it is. You move to a new area, you don't know until you talk to somebody that's experienced it. Or someone in authority that tells you that you don't build there. And the Lord tells us, if we follow his commandments and we be obedient to him, he's going to bless us. And it'll strengthen our faith. The same story in Luke chapter 6. And Luke doesn't write as much as Matthew did. But Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 and through 49. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So we'll stop there for a moment. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? If we're his and we're claiming to be his, why do we make that claim and not listen to him and not follow what he tells us? He says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. In other words, here's an example. Someone who comes to me and does what I tell them, and they go and do what I tell them, this is the example. And he says, he is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So, the same story, but a little bit different wording. If we're rooted deeply in the things of the Lord, when the storms of this life come, whether it's, our sister's had some death in the family this week, and you think about people that that are either weak in their faith or people that are not saved at all. They have a different perspective on death when it comes. And yeah, it's a hard thing, and we all have that's one of the weak points that we have. It's a sentimental thing to us when we lose a family member, whether they're close or not. If we're strong in the Lord and deeply rooted in the Lord, He'll help us through those things and bless us and give us peace during that time. It won't be so hard on us as it would a person that doesn't understand that these things, the Lord has directed these things. Talking about this, building this house in a storm, I used to work with a guy who was from Puerto Rico and still has family down there. When they had that storm last year, I talked to him some about it, and he told me that son or daughter, one of them lives in the house that he had bought down there when he lived there. And he said it was one of the better built houses in the neighborhood. He said it was heavy block, concrete block walls, and he said he had rode out a Category 3 storm there once. And he said, if you didn't look out the window, he said, you never knew it was going on. He said, that's how well built the house was. And after they had this storm last year, and I talked to him, and he said, yeah, he said, my family's fine. He said, we had a good house. And he said, the neighborhood's tore apart, but he said, our house's still standing. And I thought of this story when he was telling me that. It's right. You build a well-built house. And the Lord tells us, you know, in build on a foundation of a rock where it's solid, it'll stand. But if it's on the sand and the water comes, it's going to wash it away. In Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As far as our obedience to the Lord, we're told how we're to act, how we're to live, what we're to do, what we're not to do. The Scripture's plain on these things. And if you've been in church very long at all, you've heard it. Especially here. You know, I know... or at least I'm pretty sure I know what was taught here in the past, and so we know what the Lord expects from us, and He compares it in many places in the Scripture. He compares our relationship to Him to our relationship with our children. You know, what do we expect from our children? We expect them to be obedient, but oftentimes we forget that we got a Heavenly Father that expects the same from us. He expects us to be obedient. And He's got rules and He's got commandments. He's got the same things that we have for our children. And when we don't follow like we're supposed to, He's got punishments just like we got for our children. And sometimes, depending on the situation, sometimes it's pretty rough. Sometimes it's not as rough as it is in other times. But if we would just follow him and follow his commandments and be obedient, how much more peaceable would our life be? And we stumble and fall. That's going to happen. He knows that. He knows we're not perfect. We're not. But he still expects these things from us. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So, how many times have we heard people say, well, you know, we can pray and ask for whatever we want, and God will give it to us. And then when God doesn't give it to them, they get disappointed. And they give up on going to church, and they give up on anything to do with the Lord. Well, there's stipulations. You got to follow the Lord's commandments before you ask, not after. And what we ask for has to coincide with his will. And if it don't, you know, you don't. I know y'all probably want another car, but it's, and there's nothing wrong with praying for that. I'm not saying that, but you know, some of us will. You know, how many times have we heard people? Well, I want a new Cadillac. You know, well, maybe that's not what you need. You know, or I want a big fancy truck. You know, well, that's. Do you really need it? You know, is that what the Lord has for you? And if we're following his commandments, if we're living the way he expects us, he'll put in our thoughts what we need. He'll give us what we need to be praying for. And he'll make us content with what he gives us. In James chapter 4, James chapter 4, and verses 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So the first thing he tells us there is to submit ourselves to God. When the Lord saves us, when he comes to us and he convicts us and he saves us, and at that time we're submitting ourselves to him. And for some people, that's the last time they submit to him. And whether their salvation is true or not, we can't judge that, but we can go by what we see. And some people, you know, they make that profession and say they submit to the Lord, and then you never see them again. You never see them in the church. You never see them around God's people again. And yet they think, well, I trust the Lord, and that's all I need to do. Well, that's not all of it. We've got a new life. We've got a new life in him. And if we're truly saved, if we've truly submitted ourselves to him, we'll have a desire for that. Now, I know, like I said, we all fall. We all sin. There's times, may come times, may not. You know, it depends on the Lord's will. But there are times where, there may be times where we may not be close to Him as we should. Maybe times where we may be worse than any sinner we know. And the Lord's still, we're still His, but we've fallen out, we've rebelled against Him. But He even tells us then, He brings us back. Now at some point He's going to bring us back, whether it's in this life or the next. He may take us out, and that's His way of bringing us to Him. But once we've submitted ourselves to Him, He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So we've got no power to resist the devil if we haven't submitted to the Lord. We're open. We've opened ourselves up to everything the devil has if we're not following the Lord. In Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. It says we're witnesses of these things. Witnesses of what? Witnesses of the gospel. We're witnesses of Him, of our Lord. And we're witnesses of the things that He does, the things that He's done for us, the things that He's done for His people, things He's done for His churches. We see these things, and we're to go out and proclaim these things that we've witnessed. And He says, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. Without our obedience, we don't have that witness. In Acts chapter 16, and this will be our final scripture. And I think we're all familiar with this story too, the story of the Philippian jailer. And we'll start with verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto the Lord, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Now, as I was studying this, I thought about this. I thought, Paul and Silas and these other prisoners, anybody else would have fled. As soon as the prison doors are open and their bonds are taken off, they'd have jumped up and run out the door and left. But they didn't. In a sense, they were obedient to the law of the land here. They were prisoners. They were in. Now we know that they were in jail for something that wasn't justified. They were in jail because they were preaching the gospel, but they didn't break the law by running out of the jail. They would have broke the law. They wouldn't have been obedient to the law of the land if they had left. Plus, we know they wouldn't have been obedient to the Lord either. They stayed to be a witness to this jailer. And we see that in the rest of this story, where by them staying, they were able to witness to this man and to his family. Not just to him, but everybody in his house, it says. And in verse 29, he says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So, Paul and Silas and obeyed the Lord by staying and preaching the gospel to this man. Now, this man being the head jailer there, we see where in verse 25 where they had prayed and sang praises unto God. It says the prisoners heard them. So I'm not familiar with. Well, we have no way of knowing about this prison in particular, but many times in prisons back then, the jailer was just in the next room, or even right, maybe even right there with them at times, because it tells us here that they were in bands, so he could, you know, the guards could have been in the same room with them. And but we see this man seems that he was in another room because he sprang in. So in other words, he came in from somewhere else. And the first thing, when he saw that they were all still there, first thing he asked was,